Okay, Chevra. We have been learning some of the dinim and some of Kuf Tzadi Tes regarding Chafifa. One of the questions that I dealt with last time I learned Hilchos Nida was that the halacha is that the Gemara tells us in some of Avam Beis that an Isha has to be a Madicha base Kmatim and base Sisarim B'mayim, no? That you really have to do some sort of a strong preference, it's a preference I found in the Gemara, to do some sort of hadacha of the basis sarim. And the problem is that we don't really do any sort of chafifa in the basis sarim, do we? In terms of your nostrils, the area inside your ears, do we do any sort of chafifa there? I think the answer is no. So they try to clean with the Q-tip a little bit. That the Q-tip they do where? In the
ear.
In the ears. In the nose also they do?
They wipe it.
They do wipe the nose, that's what they're told? All the areas? Okay. So if that's the case, so then obviously we have no problem. I thought though that if they don't do it, it might not be such a problem. Well, I'll say it like this. Because chafifa has to dafka be b'mayim. Right? The Gemara says, and Isha should do it b'mayim. No? She should be la'olam yilamid on the b'sof beiso, that she should be meidicha beis k'matem beis esarim b'mayim. And when we do the ears and the nose, we don't do it b'mayim. Do we? We just take a Q-tip. And l'chaora the din requires mayim. So the question is, what is the rationale for what we're doing? So I thought, perhaps, and Rabbi Eitan Shnall thought that this was mistaber, that the pshat is that, you know, we have a minig that was in Simin Reish, that women do what Seinfeld calls the double dip, right? Meaning to say that you go in, come up, and you go again, no? The halakha double dip. So the first dip, right, that we're doing, right, so we're doing it for certain practical reasons in terms of whether the bracha is over Lasi Yasan or not, like we'll learn in Simin Reish, but one could maintain that the first dip also fulfills the inyan of a hadacha b'mayim chamin, the way our mikvahs are constructed, that we have hot water in them, and in that respect, I am yotze this issue of being madicha, the basis sarim, b'mayim. That is a suggestion that we had. Now, what's interesting about this approach, if you look in the Badei HaShulchan, I believe on page Tzadi Hei, he quotes in the Biurim from the Divrei Chaim, that in a situation, how come women don't just do their hadacha in the mikvah with the first dip? Right, we mentioned that in a situation where there's like no hot water in the mikvah, so you can use the mikvah itself as the hadacha, and really that's what we're saying now about the basis sarim, that the mikvah itself, the first tevila, counts as a hadacha. However, the Badei HaShulchan quotes in the Divrei Chaim that you shouldn't do that, because there's a halacha that you're not allowed to make brachos in the Beis HaMerchatz, no? It's found in our Chaim, Pei Zayin, Pei Ches or something. Yes? What, not to use the first dip as a chafifa dip, as a rinsing. Because if I'm using it as a rinsing, as a chafifa dip, chafifa is literally bathing yourself. So that means, Dr. Divrei Chaim, that what I'm doing is I'm making my mikvah into a beis hamerchatz. Once I make my mikvah into a beis hamerchatz, so that creates questions in terms of the bracha that we make when we go to the mikvah, because we're not supposed to recite brachos in the Beis HaMerchatz. That's the taina of the Divrei Chaim. The Badei HaShulchan believes that if you do it like on an occasional basis, one time, face the heat is out in the mikvah, that's not a problem. But if you're doing this on a regular basis, it might be a problem, and that might be a kasha on our suggestion in terms of how you, in terms of how one should do the hadacha in the Beis HaSarim. That's one issue that we wanted to mention. Going back to Se'if Aleph, so there is a textual issue in terms of the requirement of Iyun and the requirement of Hadacha, no? The requirement of Chafifa. The Mechaber writes, Uchein Tzricha Ha'isha La'ayin Be'atzma Ubi B'sara, right? She has to look at herself, and she has to look at her basar and check herself samach l'tevila, so that there should be no davar mius, and you also do a chafifa. Now, the Taz already jumps up and down and spits water nickels. He says, what are you talking about? La'ayim ba'atzma b'besara. Hainu atzma, hainu b'sara. Elamai will change the girsa, which is la'ayim ba'atzma u'besaira. Instead of b'besara, we change the girsa to b'sara, no? That you have to look in your hair. And then the Taz basically says that what that means is that she should look at her own hair herself. She does not have to have anyone else look at the hair for her, because the dinim of chafifa can be done by yourself. The only requirement of a mikvah, ladies of the Taz, is that you should ascertain that the woman went in properly, like it says in Kuf Tzadiches Se'if Mem. This din of la'ayin ba'atma b'sayra means whatever part of the hair that you could look at, you look at, and you're yotzei with that. Aye, how are you yotzei the chiyuv of iyun on everything else that you can see? So the Taz develops a theory that the areas that you can't see don't really have a chiyuv of iyun, that the sirika, the combing itself, suffices b'makom the iyun, no? The Gemara in Bava Kamma, remember, told us that there's a din d'oraisa that you require iyun, and there's a din d'rabbanan that you require chafifa. Zok the Taz, that really, once they made this din d'rabbanan of chafifa, that replaces the din d'oraisa of iyun. And memela, when I am doing the chafifa on my hair, right, the areas where I don't see, I don't have to see, the Taz says, because chafifa supplants, replaces the din of iyun. Ad kan divrei hataz, no? Harav Sidre Tahara, in Sifkat and Vav, takes the Taz and says, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? There's a din d'oraisa of iyun, zakta Sidre Tahara. And even if you did iyun, there's a din d'rabbonon of chafifa binosaf al the iyun. In addition to the iyun, to looking at the body, to looking to, again, whether it's on the body or on the hair, just as our machlokes that we spoke about last time, Rabbeinu Simcha B'Shem Rashi, etc. But the Sidre Tahara, that you need both iyun and chafifa. And the Sidre Tahara's raya is from the way the Torah quotes the shita of Rabbeinu Shmaya B'Shem Rashi. Rabbeinu Shmaya B'Shem Rashi writes, Shetzricha la'ayin kol gufa yafa, v'lochof osa b'mayin u'lashotfo. Meaning you have to do both, iyun and chafifa. So zok the Sidre Tahara, that this whole idea that the Taz develops, that the chafifa replaces iyun, is not true. Aye, how do you look at yourself, the entire body? How do you do this? The answer is, you don't. No? In other words, the Taz is raya, that it's not shayach to see every part of my body. I have no idea what my hair looks like over here, unless I have a mirror. No? There's certain areas, even with mirrors, you have to maybe you have like lots of mirrors all around. I don't think anyone has such a practice to insist on many mirrors to see every inch of the body. It's not really shayach. Right? So the Taz says, oh, you see the chafifa replaces iyun. No? Right, which is interesting, that a din d'rabbanan comes and supplants the din d'oraisa, so that you have to look at it. The Sidre Tahara says no. Sidre Tahara says that if you read the Rabbeinu Shmaya B'Shem Rashi, the way it's quoted in the Torah, it sounds like you need iyun and chafifa. Now, a few ha'aros. One second. Ha'ara number one is that it's a little bit strange I'd bring a raya from a shita of Rashi, which l'cha'ora we don't really paskin like, no? We paskin me'ikar din that the din of chafifa is only on the hair. The kohaguf thing that we do is stamazayachumra, that we try to be yotzei Rashi. But me'ikar din, you don't have to do it. So if I don't paskin that way, it's a little bit shver that would be the basis of the Sidre Tahara's argument that you need iyun in addition to the chafifa. No saf al kach, what the Sidre Tahara seems to be saying is that you really need a mikvah lady to check you thoroughly. No? Because the whole raya of the Taz is like, how are you going to see yourself? I, the mikveh lady, looks at you. The mikveh lady's job is only to make sure that you go under the water. That's it. Right? That's what the Taz says. But the Sidrei Tahara would tell you, no? That no, that the role of a mikveh lady is much more than just... Right? The role of the mikveh lady is much more than just making sure that you are v'rachat says kol gufo b'mayim. It's much more than that. The role of a mikveh lady is to make sure that there is zero chatzitzis and to check your entire body thoroughly. This is a very sensitive topic for many women, kayadua, no? Many women in our modern Orthodox world, and even in other worlds, many women say, oh my gosh, I don't want anyone looking at me when I am undressed, right? And it's invasive, and they have these like horror stories about how the mikveh lady checked me so thoroughly, and they made me... I once had a meeting with the women in town where I complaining about the Breyer's mikveh, and how it was too invasive, etc. And again, then there are certain things that were changed based on this. Many people say, you know what, I don't want it. I'm not interested. I only want to make sure, right? The mikveh lady is a requirement maker, then, like we see in Kuf Tzadiches Se'if Mem, to make sure you completely go under the water. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, if there's no mikveh lady, so you tie up something on your hair, and in that way you make sure that you're completely under the water, right? That's what it says in Kuf Tzadiches Se'if Mem. Many women say, I don't want the mikveh lady to check me, and therefore they opt out of checking. In the Breyer's mikveh now, they ask you, do you want to be checked? Correct? The cheshbin of asking to want to be checked is not such a crazy cheshbin. Right? In other words, the desire to be checked is really an opportunity to be yotzei this Sidrei Tahara, who assumes that you need iyun in addition to chafifa. Right? And the only way to have iyun on kol haguf is someone else checks you. It also solves problems, like some of the horror stories that we spoke about in the Shirin Bachatzitzes, right? The woman who had the earrings on, right? I think you pointed out the mikveh lady should be fired. I think that was exactly your nusach, right? So, okay, so people ask not to be checked. So, like Rabbi Hoffman, kind of, what do you mean? Like, how not checked do you have to be? Right, when you, okay, but Zolzayin, the fact is, the Shevet HaLevi makes this point, and I think it's a Dover Pashat within the Sidrei Tahara, that the din of Iyun, right, Binos al Chafifa, would require a mikveh lady to check you. Now, one could... Yeah, Avery.
Doesn't he have the same exact view that the Taz makes that only she herself does it? It says just need you and Chaverita. I'm not sure what that means, but I thought that's the same idea.
But I think... But they go in opposite directions. In other words, the Taz is saying that Al-Karcha Chachafifa replaces Iyun because we never saw such a din. Right?
According to the Taz, Iyun itself requires some sort of touching. That's sort of a...
The Taz says that the Chafifa replaces Iyun. If I touch my hair... So I don't have to look at it, because I know that there's no chatzitzes, I know there are no nas, I felt it. It's tactile sight.
Because
chafifa
is Iyun, plus
Iyun
itself is also tactile, but
chafifa
is an
elevated. Iyun is just looking.
So it doesn't have to say that there's no Iyun called guf, because she can't see her whole body. So therefore you have to say that Iyun itself requires some lower level of touching, and chafifa is in osah, but that you need to actually...
That, you're saying the taz, you're saying the... The Taz is saying that once you do a chafifa, you don't need iyun. On you don't need iyun. The chafifa replaces the iyun, and the Sidrei Tahara disagrees with
it.
The chafifa, the tactile, the touching, replaces the need for visual iyun.
Exactly, because the whole point is because iyun.
Because we never saw a din that you need to have a woman checked out. And the Sidrei Tahara would argue that no, that you need iyun plus chafifa. Right? Now, the Sidrei Tahara has a kula that you could do the Iyun b'shas chafifa. It doesn't have to be two separate activities. Right? At the moment when I'm combing myself, I can also look at my hair, at least the part here that I could see. But that part that you can't see, the only way to be yotzei l'cha'ora is with someone else. Now, there is makom to disagree and say, one second, if the whole concern is just some sort of chatzitza, so then maybe all you have to do is check enough to make sure that there's no chatzitza that would be a problem that's a real problem. Like that roiv of it is not covered by chatzitzas or the like, no? There's no chatzitza that's makbid. But a teeny bit, you don't have to do maybe such a thorough check. You could argue that. However, the Sidrei Tahara himself does not say that. In the Sidrei Tahara, Kuf Tzadiches Os Nun Aleph, the Sidrei Tahara has the the Shtickle Torah that the din of chafifa requires looking at every single element of the body. But he asks the Kasha, how could you possibly be mekel on the woman who forgot to cut her fingernails, b'di'eved? If I forgot to cut my fingernails for the Sidrei Tahara, doesn't that mean I didn't properly do a chafifa? Why? Because if the din of chafifa requires that you look carefully, right? So he says, if you're looking carefully, how did you not notice that the fingernail was cut? Elamai, you didn't look so carefully. And the Sidrei Tahara tainas that the din of chafifa requires that you check every single aspect of your body. Even though that one fingernail might be a miyachin or makbid, still, you're not yotzei chafifa zok the Sidrei Tahara kuf tzadi ches nun aleph, unless you check every single element. Now, what's the pshat in that Sidrei Tahara? Why would I have to check every single part of my body? Isn't that a little bit strange? It's like, what's the pshat in this chumrah? So I thought the pshat in the chumrah is based on a svara that Rabbi Eliyahu Silverman has in his sefer on, what's it called? You know, the sefer Nidan, Avelos, and Shabbos. In Rabbi Silverman's sefer, he tainas, it was a chabur he gave in the Kol HaOyam when we learned mikvaos, that since the Torah describes going to the mikvah always as v'rachatz es b'saro b'mayim, v'rachatz es kol b'saro, the Torah describes going to the mikvah as a process of rechitza. Rechitza means that I cleanse myself, I make myself clean, no? If you have some dirt that's left, it's a chisaron in the rechitza. The din rechitza is that you are cleansing yourself. And unless you're looking at every part of your body, mashallah mahadavar domeh. My kids are supposed to bathe a couple of times a week. Some of my kids are better at it than others. Kayadula. And a kid comes out and like, did you wash your hair? Yeah, I wash your hair. Did you wash behind your ears? Did you get undressed actually to go into the shower? You know, like the way kids can sometimes take a shower that you're standing outside and you stick your head. You know all these tricks, right? You've all been there and done that. Or maybe some of you are. But the fact is, the din rechitza is v'rachatz es kol b'saro. You have to wash your entire body. So ken min zogin that the pshat in the Sidrei Tahara that even if something would ordinarily be a miyot, but it's going to be a chisaron in the chafifa, the pshat is because you need a real rechitza, and the din rechitza is something that cleanses you, which has to be that the entire body is going to be clean. I think that is some of the ha'aros that I wanted to make. Now, you had some comments before? Let's go on. It says in the Gemara that when you do a chafifa, you should not use certain things. Cold water should not be used. And we point out there's a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. Why I should not use cold water? Rashi's lashon is, I should not use cold water because cold water will not clean my hair properly. And we're worried that if the hair is going to the lichluch, right, cold water makes the hair harder and the lichluch doesn't come off. The Rambam sounded like, and Shulchan Aruch sounds like the Rambam, that the cold water is misabchin es haseyar, it makes it all stuck together. No? Makes it all stuck together. So now, here is a nafgamina between Rashi and the Rambam, l'cha'ira. Let's say a woman already did a proper chafifa with hot water, and then she what? And then she goes into cold water after. If you hold like Rashi that the yesod of not using cold water is because cold water doesn't get the dirt off, well, once the dirt came off, so then I'm not going to get dirty presumably by going into the mikvah, right? But if I hold like the Rambam that the concern is that the cold water makes the hair get stuck together, so then even if I previously washed with hot water, when I then subsequently wash with cold water, it would what? It would potentially make my hair stuck together, which would be a problem. The Chochmas Adam alludes to this. Right? The fact is that there could be a nafgamim between Rashi and the Rambam. Once I did a chafifa b'chamin, if I then go into tzonein after, doesn't mess it up. Im kenem hadavarim, So then the practice that we spoke about, that many had a problem with in Hilchos Shabbos, about using dafka a hot mikvah on Shabbos, no? It could be that it fulfills a real halachic need. Because if the mikvah is going to be cold, so it's gevadik for tshuva, like the Arizal mikvah, it's the coldest thing in the planet. You ever went in there, it's like, man, you can die. Fine, but that's an aside. The fact is, if I went to if I did a proper chafifa, and then I go into a cold mikvah, and I'm worried, Lidas HaRambam, which is what Shulchan Aruch Paskin's like, that the cold water can get your hair stuck together, so shouldn't that be a problem? Especially the Tevila Rishona isn't really making me tahar. Maybe we spoke about using Tevila Rishona as a chafifa a few minutes ago. So maybe there would be a chumrah. Right? Funny chumrah. A chumrah to dafka have a hat mikvah so you could be, so it doesn't mess up your chafifa that you previously did, according to the Rambam. That's just the ha'ara that I was thinking about. Take it or leave it.
The first tefillah really does make you tahar.
The first tefillah really does make you tahar, although what we have to speak about next time we learn is comment of the Dog Omer Vava with the Kavana Shalom Li Tahir, etc., which it could be is what we are doing anyway. I have no idea, I just put my notes. But the fact is, the first tevilah me'ikar din does make the tahar. Yes, and Ochanami. Okay, yeah, you had a comment for this.
Could nanakmina be cold water with shampoo?
Cold water with shampoo, because what, the shampoo doesn't really come off.
No, in other words, because even if hot water cleans you better than cold water with shampoo.
With shampoo will for sure clean you.
Good job of cleaning hot water out.
But I'm not sure. I'm not sure if the shampoo really comes off with cold water. And you could end up with like some sort of residue in your hair. No?
Washing dishes on Shabbos.
Your hands feel like yucky after, no? That you have like that smooth, like snaky-like feeling on your hands.
Yeah, if I just use hot water and no soap on the dishes, I would feel pretty gross too.
But I just use hot water and no soap on the dishes, so the dishes, more dirt would come off something than using just cold water and no soap.
Right.
that much I know. Yesh ladan, just something to think about in terms of the chafifa. Next, it says in Sif Beis, don't use. You should not use neser, which in Arabic is called girda, or no, in Arabic is called tafal, and in Laz is called girda or kraida. And because of that is mechate chaseyar, that chops the hair off, it removes the hair. And you should not use ahol. Ahol is presumably aloe, no? So you shouldn't use these things when you do ichafifa. Now neser is translated in the Heiliger Artscroll to be sodium carbonate. And you shouldn't use that when you do chafifa. Some of the poskim say in the Darki Tshuva, he writes, that we're not exactly sure what neser is, and as such, you should not really use any shampoo when you do a chafifa. The shach tain is that women consider it a chumrah to use shampoo when they do chafifa, and we all use shampoo, and apparently we're not worried that there's any neser that is in our shampoo, correct? So that, I think, is not a concern. Ahol, if ahol is aloe, so then presumably you should not have aloe as an ingredient in your shampoo. Some of the shampoos do have aloe in them, correct? So you should not have aloe in your shampoo when you're using it for chafifa. Now, when my wife took kala classes back in Princeton University, Kayadua, so they told her that you should have separate shampoo and conditioner because all throughout the month when you shower, use shampoo and conditioner. But when you're showering or bathing right before you use the mikvah, you should only use shampoo, not use conditioner, because the concern is that the conditioner remains in the hair. It's supposed to be the type of substance that doesn't easily come out, and therefore it might be a problem with the chafifa, which is supposed to get everything out of your hair. That's what they told her. And if you look in that sefer from Lakewood, the Pre-Tahara, page 109, he says, do not use conditioner. Is this what your wives were told? Did anyone hear this, ever?
Yes.
You heard this. I think it's not uncommon in the yeshiva shvelt that they tell you to not use conditioner when you prepare for the mikvah. Yeah?
Isn't that like, they want the conditioner in their hair?
You want the conditioning your hair, so you're saying that it's not, it's bedafka na makbid. But even so, we try to get rid of everything on the body, even stuff that we want, like our nail polish. We get rid. That's a chumra. In Arts Girl, page 345, he quotes that Reb Shlomo Zalman said that you could use shampoo, you could use conditioner. I don't think it's a problem. I don't understand. I mean, my hair, again, I certainly don't notice anything in my own hair between whether there's whether I used conditioner or didn't use conditioner after the shower. It feels the same, no?
I think with conditioner, at least from personal experience, it can happen. It's very hard to get out, and like 2 hours later, you're still around in your hair, and there's stuff in your hair that you actually don't want.
And that does not happen with shampoo. That only happens
with shampoo,
only with conditioner. So apparently, that's what the concern is in the Sefer Pri Tahara. In the Arts Grill in Rabbi Forst Sefer, he's not concerned with this. It doesn't seem to me like it's something to be concerned with. The goal, obviously, is that you should be in the water enough time to make sure that everything comes out. But that's one of the reasons why you take a longer shower, like we spoke about, or you bathe for a long time in order to properly do a chafifa. I think that is one of the reasons for there. Now, it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Se'if Beis in the Rambam, that although we should not use Neser or Ahal, because of lechatchila im chavufa ben Neser ki yotibo v'rasa ba'atma she'ein sar shalak shurim u'musubachim shari. In other words, let's say b'diyevet, I use shampoo with aloe in it. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, aloe, evay, terrible, awful, horrible, shrechloch, kferloch, whatever the word you want to use. And so I say, okay, you know what? If you notice that the hairs are not stuck together, so it's going to be permitted. The Shach understands this din, that's permitted for that one time. But we're not going to permit it, mikan lahaba, to use aloe in your shampoo. Because since the Gemara says not to, we don't permit it, mikan lahaba. Then the Shach discusses, let's say you have a woman. Then, excuse me, the Ramah. Yeah, Barry.
What does that mean, mikan
lahaba? In other words, this one time that I use shampoo with aloe, we say, you're yotze. But we're going to say next month when I go to the mikvah, I should use shampoo with aloe, based on knowing that for me it doesn't cause my hair to get messed up. Because even though it didn't get messed up this one time, but the fact is the din in the Gemara, we keep the din in the Gemara, don't use shampoo with aloe. That's what the, that's the way the Shach and Sifkat and Dalet understands this halacha. Great. Yeah?
Would you say a bit of a rove or a bit of a shishim on the aloe?
I don't know. The assumption of this darkei tshuva with the Neser is not like that. I don't know. I did not see a real literature about that. Don't know.
The darkei tshuva
says that you should not use regular shampoo because maybe there's Neser in your shampoo. Right now we don't pass like that darkei tshuva, but I think it's a shtick or right against the bittul b'shishim svara. Unless, yeah. Now, then the Rambam talks about, let's say you have a woman that the doctor said that she should not use water on her hair, she should dafka use yayin. So zak the Shach, what you do is yesh lish ola rofim im hayayin misabei chasaros. You ask the doctor, so the yayin causes the hair to get all clumpy, no? You ask the doctors. Zetman, we trust doctors in Judaism. It's a chiddush. And we trust doctors. Goyin writes, Os Yud, Samchina Narodim, Kemosha Kosov in Nida, Davchaf Beis Amid Beis, Vachachomim, Sha'alu Larofim. The Gemara Nida, Chaf Beis Amid Beis, speaks about a woman who had certain, like, krutin who was coming out. And they're not exactly sure what the story of these krutin. Maisa Be'isha, Shaisa Mapalas, Kemin Saros Adumos. The previous Gemara is Aisama Pels Kamin Klipos Adumos, is like red stuff that's coming out of her. So they asked my father asked the Chachomim asked the Rofim, and they said that there is a Maka Yeshla Ba'osamakom, a Shuma Yeshla Ba'soch Me'eha, and that's where these things are coming out. Tato Lamayim and Nimuchal Tumeya. You should throw it into the water. And if they come out, if a Nimuchal, if they begin to dissolve, then it is tamei. In other words, the doctors felt that what this is some sort of maka, and it's not real dam. But even though the doctors said it, zok the Gemara, nonetheless the Gemara says tato lamayim. She should throw it into the mayim. Now it's not clear from the Gemara. A few points, right? This Gemara is the makar chaf beis amid beis and nida that the goyin over here cites is the makar that we listen to doctors in Judaism. right? A woman has this condition that klipos and syros adumos are coming out. We're not sure what it is. We ask the doctors. The doctors say there's a maka there. Nonetheless, the Gemara said, we're not going to listen to the doctors straight up. We are also doing tato lamayim. Or, nonetheless, the doctor says tato lamayim. That's not abundantly clear within the Gemara. There's a long discussion about that in the Chochmas Betzalel, in Reb Tzal Ranchberg's Sefer Anida, on Chaf Beis. Now, the Chassam Sefer in the Tshuva, and everyone and their uncle, if you look in the Nishmas Avram on Simon Kuf Pei Zayin Se'if Ches, and in the Rav Wozner Sefer on Kuf Pei Zayin Se'if Ches, that's another din where we listen to Rofim. Right? It says that if the Rofim tell us that this is dam that is coming from some sort of maka, and it's not dam nida, so we listen to the Rofim. Right? That's what it says in Kuf Pei Zayin Se'if Ches. Im tirtzel hisrapos, you have a woman who's I'll say it like this. You have a woman who's a raya dam machmas tashmish already, and the doctor said we healed her. So there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch whether we could listen to the doctors right up or not. Right? Yesh mistapkin and mutar lismoch al harofim l'shamesh acharkach. Yesh mishamatir if it's a rofe Yisrael. And if you see that the dam stopped, so then yesh lismoch afilo al goy. If you yourself see the dam stopped, then yesh lismoch al goy. So the achrayim go to town about nemonos harofim. And the real source in the Gemara is this din on Chaf Beis and Beis of Tato Lamayim. So the Chassam Sof asks, he says, one second, I don't understand. And the Rush already asks this in the Tshuva, in Klal Beis, Os Yud Ches. The Rush asks, one second, if you listen to the doctors, that there's a Maka, so why are you throwing it into the Mayim? So there are two answers that are given to this Kasha. The Taisus HaRush of Nart on Chaf Beis and Beis says that the reason why we don't listen to the doctors straight up is because the doctors are not saying something definitive. The Rush understands what the Gemara means, is that the doctors are saying maybe there's a maka, not that definitely there's a maka. The doctors are saying definitely there's a maka, saying you listen to the doctors. But when the doctors say maybe, then we ourselves have to test it after, and we have to be tato lamayim. That's what the Taisus HaRush says. The Chassam Sofer has a different mahalach. Chassam Sofer says, no, of course, we listen to doctors. Right? We listen to doctors all the time. We're mechallel Shabbos. A doctor says something is pekuach nefesh. We listen to the doctor. We feed people in Yom Kippur. The doctor says that you're sick. But Zok Chassam Sofer, all that means is that the ne'amonos harofim is that creates a suffix. The doctor says something. Any of you studying to be doctors? Anyone going to medical school? No? Wow. Look at that. Okay. So The doctors say something. That doesn't mean it's definitely true. It means it's a suffix. So for pekuach nefesh on Shabbos, suffix pekuach nefesh on mechallel Shabbos, no? But when it comes to a situation that we know a woman was very dam machmas tashmish, and we have to get out of that situation, so in that case, the suffix is not enough. Right? Or if you have a woman who had something come out of her body that looks problematic. In that case, just the fact that the doctor said there's a maka just means it's a suffix. And if there's a suffix, we have to mevara the suffix. So what we have over here is two opinions, two fundamental opinions, as to whether rofim always only are neman mikayach suffix. That's what the Chassam Sofer would say. Or the Rush would say. It's a little bit funny, it's not focused Chassam Sofer and Rush. But the Tosfos HaRush would say, on Chaf Beis and Beis, that doctors' nemunas would be nemunas mitaris vadai. And if a doctor says it's definitely a maka, you believe the doctor. The only reason we have to be matur l'mayim on Chaf Beis and Beis, on the Gemara that the Gaon over here is quoting, is because in that one case, the doctor was saying it's a suffix. So far, so good? Now, im kenem hadavarim, we have a ha'ara on Arsif in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah tells us that the doctors say have to do chafifa with wine, and we're not sure if wine is misabeich the saros, so we listen to the doctors. If the rofim say that's eino misabeich yesh lismoch aleihem, we listen to the doctors. Aber shteitnisht, that what? That we ourselves have to do a test. It's not such a hard test. He asked the woman to wash her hair with some wine and to see if her hair gets stuck together. Not such a hard test. But says in the Rama, you don't have to do the test. Yesh lismacha rofim b'li ha-test. Why is that? Apparently you see that the mahalach, that the Rush is saying on Chaf Beis Amid Beis is accepted lahalacha, rather than the mahalach of the Chassam Sofer. Because according to the Chassam Sofer, the nemanus of Rofim is always nemanus miktayras safek. If it's a safek, so we have to be mevarer ourselves. So how come the Rama is saying straight up, yesh lismocha rofim? The Barei HaShulchan makes this ha'ara somewhere. He doesn't point out as much focusing the Rush and the Chassam Sofer. It's much less geschmack, the way he says it, of course. But the fact is, he makes the ha'ara on in a biurim on page tzadi test. He makes this ha'ara that l'cha'ora, we don't have to do the test ourselves, and we rely on the Raifim straight up. Yeah. So we have to ask the, why do you ask, so we don't know what the test is necessarily. Or we don't know, that we ask the doctors, is it, you're saying just test it yourself.
Yeah.
So apparently if the doctors would say that for sure is Mesabeich L'Sarus, why waste our time? That's the point. But in our case, no one says that we ourselves do the test. And it's a little bit funny that the Gaon quotes the Gemara in Chaf Beis, even though the Gemara in Chaf Beis mentions a test in addition to the smichas on the Rofim. By the way, I should point out that the Gemara in Chaf Beis is calling a Tosefta at the beginning of Perek Dalet. The Tosefta does not have the test that's done. The Tosefta just says, Sha'alu le so-and-so, b'sha'al le-chachamim, b'chachamim sha'alu le-rofim, and they said that there's a makkah. It doesn't say that you do a test in the Tosefta. Vilna Gaon, in his Haggais on the Tosefta says, oh, by the way, you did a test. Right? In other words, what the Gaon is doing, Rabbi Weider told me this morning, is that, yeah, the Gaon's whole approach to amending texts and Toseftas is to try to level the playing field between the Tosefta and the Bavli. The Bavli said there's a test in addition to, right, the Smichas on the Rofim. This is a huge issue, no? Relying on doctors as a matter of halacha is a very, very big issue in Hilchos Nida. Hopefully when we learn Kuf Pei Zayin, if we get there, we'll discuss this at length. But this is one of the major haramakomos in this issue. That Gemara in Chaf Beis Amid Beis. I should just point out the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, the Reisher Rav, notes that Lismoich Aroif Im is the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch, it's the Lashon of the Gemara, meaning you have to ask two of them, no? You can't ask one.
Can't say it's Rav and Dalma.
What?
Can't say it's Rav.
You could say that, but the Shvus Yaakov doesn't. Right? His argument is that the nemanos of a rofe is only if you have two of them. So the question is, bismanenu, relying on doctors, right? Especially Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Pei Zayin Seif Ches says you can only rely on a Jewish doctor. Right? Today we have Goyish doctors. I remember one time we had a very difficult situation that my wife had a very late term pregnancy that was a fetal demise. And I got very nervous. The non-Jewish midwife told us it's a fetal demise, and they wanted to send her very quickly to do the abortion, because if it stays in for too long, it could create problems. We had a few issues, and so I was very nervous. Like, can I trust the non-Jew? It's a shayla of mamash d'oraisa. This was 8th month in pregnancy. It's mamash d'oraisa of Ritzicha, can you trust a non-Jew? Is it nemanus of a non-Jew? So I thought maybe we have to go for a second opinion before we would go. So I called Rabbi Sabalovsky on the phone. So he said, I should call Rabbi Willig. So they called Rabbi Willig on the phone. So Rabbi Willig told us that what we should do is just go. He says they're never going to actually perform the abortion procedure until they do a second sonogram. They'll never do it. And the second sonogram counts as like a second aid because there's a different sonogram reader. Right? You have a different person who reads a sonogram in the doctor's office and reads it in the hospital where you're going. So that's what we did at that time. That's a shayla, right, in terms of nemanus harofim. The Shevet HaLevi Lameisa says that you can certainly trust in a situation where it's Milsa David Aligluye. He telling us that maybe the whole discussion in the post came about not listening to doctors is in a situation when the doctor is saying something and nobody knows. The doctor says it's a makkah. in their times is a maka. Mehechates is a maka. I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. It's inside the body. How are we going to find out? But bismaneinu, right? Anyone could read the film, right? There's nothing that's really a secret today, right? But they say there's a maka. You look at it. You look at the pictures on the sonogram. You see there's a maka. Okay, beautiful. Right? So it's Moshe David Ligluya. But Moshe David Ligluya, according to many Rishonim, even Goyim and Neman. And that's the pshat in, right, the Heter Aguna, no? A Goy is Neman to say Meispila, no? What's a Heter based on? So there's like five different shitas in Rishonim, but I believe it's the Ramban who says it's based on Moshe David Ligluya. Right, if it's mamish avida leguyas, that's also a problem. Look in the Shevet Halevi, Kuf Pei Zayin Sivches, and Arichos about these topics, very very important topics, the halacha that we just spoke about briefly. Yeah, Eliran.
Were we concerned that the wine should be a chatzitza later? Meaning, if there's any wine residue on her hair,
so apparently,
or it's she's going on it right away after she does the chatzitza. She's still wet, so it's not going to be.
Well, she does a chafif, you're saying, because the wine, we saw the Taz said we should not do a chafif of Bishar Mashkim, right? And there's the Taz and Sivkot and Beis explaining the Ramah of not doing a chafif of Bishar Mashkim, because maybe it's going to be stuck in the Beis Kematim, right? So you're saying that maybe it'll be stuck in the hair also. That's your ha'ara.
I think
It mamish, right. I mean, that's what Reb Feivelkolb was understanding that in, that when it dries, it really is a. Even though dry wine, he pointed out, the Beis Yosef says in Kof Tzadiches is not a chatzitza. That was Reb Feivel's kasha on that Taz. A dry wine is not a chatzitza. So you see from this din also that when the Reifim say that it's not Misabeth Lasaros, we're not worried that the wine will remain behind. Even if it does remain behind, it's not going to be a chatzitza anyway. Dry wine is not a chatzitza for some reason. Okay. But it's a good point that you're making.
Wine when it's dry.
What?
Wine when it's dry.
Right, not dry wine in terms of like a white wine that has, yeah, that you don't want to drink for Kiddush, right? Got it. Good Hara also. Fine, next. Any other things to discuss about Nemanus Harofim, or should we move on to the Zman of Chafifa very briefly? Okay. Just Al Regal Achas, Se'if Gimel in Shulchan Aruch, in terms of the time for doing Chafifa, there is a fundamental machlokes lahalacha. Tosfos on Samachas points out between Rashi and the She'otos. You see, the Gemara has a question about whether I could do a chafifa on Sunday and go to the mikvah on Tuesday. No, I do a chafifa on Sunday, go to the mikvah on Wednesday. That's on Samach Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara wanted to say that of course you can, because isha chayfefes the erev Shabbos v'tovelas after a 2-day yontif. So that on some Zayin Amud Beis, the pashtus in the sugya is that you do chafifa biyom. And the Gemara's only discussion was, yeah, I do chafifa biyom in the situation I can't do the chafifa balayla. I'm going to the mikvah on yontif, so I can't comb my hair on yontif. By the way, look in the Avni Nezer Gozes of cutting your dalet about Amir al-Nachri to have a guy comb your hair for yontif. That's already fancy Torah. But it's a good maramakum. The fact is, I can't do the chafifa on yontif, so I'll do the chafifa on erev yontif. And the pashtus is, I'm doing the chafifa biyom. The only question is, can I do it b'makom she'efshar? Right? In the situation where it's a regular Sunday and the Tuesday, Sunday and the Wednesday, can I do it? So the Gemara ultimately seems to be machalik between Sunday and Tuesday and Sunday and Wednesday. Sunday and Wednesday is too far away, but Sunday and Tuesday, it would work. That's samach zayin amud beis. Samach ches amud aleph, the Gemara concludes, Hilchasa isha choyfefes biyom v'tzevelas b'layla. Hilchasa isha lo tachof ela b'layla. Kasha hilchasa hilchasa lo kasha ha de'efshar ha de'lo efshar. Rashi understands this Gemara, the way Rashi puts the sugya together, that chafifa should be done biyom, ideally. On a regular Wednesday, when if I'm going to the mikvah Wednesday night, I do the chafifa Wednesday afternoon. Why don't I do it Wednesday night? Dr. Ashi, I'm worried, Doma Muhuma Labesa. Maybe if I'll do the chafifa at night, I'll do a rushed job on my chafifa. And I won't do a good job, I won't comb my hair properly, I'll rush through and I'll miss out some parts of it. Doma Muhuma Labesa. So therefore Rashi says do the chafifa biyom. And the way Rashi learns the Gemara, ultimately the Gemara is rejecting the sugya on Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Because when the Gemara says Chada Efshar, Chada Lay Efshar, what the Gemara means is that Efshar, if I could do the Chafifa B'yayim, if I'm allowed to comb my hair the day before I go to the mikvah, Kala Kavu, do it that way. But Lo Efshar, let's say it's a 2-day Yontiv, let's say Shabbos HaSamach LeYontiv, so in that situation you do the Chafifa Motzei Yontiv. You do the Chafifa at night. Right? We prefer to do the Chafifa B'yom, all things considered equal. If I can't do the Chafifa B'yom, then I do the Chafifa B'layla. That is Shitas Rashi. She'otos disagrees with Rashi completely. The She'otos tainas that you do the Chafifa ideally at night, not during the day. Why? Because according to the She'otos, we want the Chafifa to be as close to the Tevila as possible. We don't want any separation between Chafifa and Tevila. So do the Chafifa at night right before you go to the mikvah. Adkan divrei ha-she'otos. This issue might depend on a gersology issue. Gersology in the sense of the Gemara at the beginning of Samach Chesamar Aleph has a lashon of Tekef l'chafifa Tevila. Four lines later, the Gemara has a line Samach l'chafifa Tevila. The word Tekef means immediately, no? Samach means not immediately. The shear of Smichos ordinarily throughout Shas is around half an hour. Although there's a famous sheet of the Yireyim that in terms of Samach L'Seuda by Boirer, you have Gimel Shaos, and the Shevet HaLevi over here quotes also from the Yireyim. I didn't check if it's the same Yireyim, but the Yireyim says over here also you have Gimel Shaos. Now, the She'otos' argument that you should do Chafifa at night to make the Chafifa as close to the Tefillah as possible sounds more like the Girsa of Tekef. If I have the Girsa of Samach, especially if I have a Shir of Gimel Sha'is, so I could be Yotze Samach if I do the Chafifa B'yom and the Tefillah B'layla, no? It could be within 3 hours for sure. Now, how do we paskin in the Smachlokas She'otos and Rashi? Should Chafifa ideally be B'yom or should Chafifa ideally be B'layla? So the Mechaber, first of all, writes, and Tosfos has this in Samach Chesamar Aleph, that the minhag of Noshim is that they carry a comb with them, that they start the Chafifa B'yom, they continue at night. The idea is that we try to be Yotze, both Shitas. But just like we said before, the minhag of doing a rechit on the entire body before going to the Kvot, to be Yotze, that Shitas Rashi. We have another minhag to be Yotze, a Shita of Rashi, that you start B'yom, you continue B'layla. Right, it's an idea that, like Professor Sperber would say, that there are sometimes minhagim lotzeis kol hadeis. Right, sometimes the idea of a minig came in order to be yotze all the opinions. That's what you see over here. But meikar hadin, do we hold the chafifa should be b'yom or chafifa should be b'layla? So it seems to be a machlokes between the mechaber and the shach. No. The Mechaber sounds like the Chafifa should be close to the Tevila as possible. The Ramos certainly writes, B'shas ha-dechak, if you have to do Chafifa b'yayim, you do it b'yayim, implying that really Chafifa should be b'layla, which is the position of the She'otos. The Goyin writes in Os Yud Aleph that we follow the She'otos because Kein Kasvu Rov HaPoskim, Rov Rishonim hold, like the She'otos, therefore Chafifa should be b'layla. Shach, very long shach, right? Jumps up and down, and as the expression goes, he spits wooden camels. And the shach tainas that, no, we really follow Rashi. Why do we follow Rashi, not the she'otos? Because the pashtus in the Gemara is like Rashi. The she'otos' read in the Gemara is very difficult. Now, what seems to be is that the goyin and the shach are arguing on the fundamental level about how I paskin the shayla, no? The goyin is saying that the proper way to paskin the shayla is by rov poskim. But the Shach is saying, no, that you're passing like the Pashtus in the Gemara. Right? That's like the famous story about Reb Chaim had a posek in Brisk. Right? Reb Simcha Zelig, his granddaughter actually davens on the show. Reb Simcha Zelig's granddaughter is Dr. Rieger, who davens on the show. So, Reb Simcha Zelig's last name was Rieger. Right. So, Reb Chaim didn't want to pass in Shailas, because he felt that you have to paskin based on the pashtus in the Gemara against what the poskim say. So on one occasion there was like a shayla that came up, and Reb Simcha Zelig wasn't around, and someone asked Reb Chaim the shayla. Reb Chaim says that you should paskin like the Pashtus and the Gemara, even though the Prima Gadim says Fakeret. And before Reb Chaim came up with his answer, they sent a telegram to the Maharsham, and the Maharsham wrote back that you should paskin like the Prima Gadim, even though the Pashtus and the Gemara is Fakeret. No? Reb Shechta has this in the book Nefesh Harb. The fact is that the fact is that there's a fundamental argument over here between the Shach and the Gain about how do I go about passing a Shaila. They pass it like the Pashtus in the Gemara. That's the way the Shach says.
But sometimes
they go pass like Pashtus in the Gemara. Right, that's the difficulty. I was trying to figure out. Yeah, there's a few places. And then the general methodology of the Gaon is to try to go back to the original sources. But I think the Gaon would tell us in this case that the She'otos also knew how to learn. And the She'otos just has a little bit of a dachuk in the Gemara. No?
If that's the opinion, if saying everybody is must be right.
But the way the Gaon says it over here is King Kasser Rov HaPoskim. And the Shach is saying, I don't care what the Rov HaPoskim say, I'm going to pass like the Pashtus in the Gemara. Right, this shach is really frightening in terms of a derech and psak, if I'm reading the shach correctly. So the shach says that really chafiva should be biyom. The shach also has a razzle dazzle mahalach, which is like Rashi, but more Rashi than Rashi. Remember, Rashi says a chafiva is biyom. But if I can't do the chafiva biyom the day before I go to the mikvahs, and I do the chafiva belayla, so I'm supposed to go to the mikvah matzah Shabbos. Pashas and Rashi is I do the chafiva matzah Shabbos. The Shach reinterprets Rashi and says that all the Rashi's on Samaches means, all the Rashi means is that if you have a 3-day yontiv, so then you should do the chafifa on Matzei Shabbos. But short of a 3-day yontiv, you always do the chafifa on Erev Shabbos, or Erev, the 3-day yontiv, because chafifa b'yom is what's really important according to the Shach. Then the Shach writes that the chumras that the Gemara has, the way the Shach himself understands the Gemara, is that you should do the chafifa both on Erev Yontif or Erev Shabbos, as well as Motzei Shabbos when you do the mikvah. Generally speaking, we try to follow the Shach, that you can do some sort of chafifa b'yayim, no? Women, on the day they go to the mikvah, will like bring a nail file or something with them like to work, and file their nails a little bit at work, in order to the yotze, the shita of the shach, that you do a chafifa biyom. The she'otos of doing chafifa b'layla, according to Rashi, is very difficult. We're writing muhuma labesa. So we solve the problem of muhuma labesa based on what the shach quotes at the end of Sif Katin Vav from the Maharshal. The Maharshal, once upon, this is a Maharam Padua in Italy, there was a whole fight about this, that Maharam Padua at one point wanted to say that even bidi ever, you're not yotze going to the mikvah, you remain tameya if you do the chafifa b'layla. And the Maharshal and the Tshuva really disagree. He says, no, vadi yotze if you do the chafifa b'layla, but you should try to do the chafifa for a full hour, because if the concern is dilma muhuma labesa, so if you set a set amount of time that I'm going to do the chafifa for a minimum of an hour, so I'm not in a rush, because I know for sure it's going to be a minimum of an hour. Ayin igris Moshe, chelek beiz simin pei aleph. Moshe Feinstein develops the idea that an hour is lav dafka. An hour just means give yourself a kviyas zman. And Moshe says it doesn't have to be the same kviyas zman for everybody. A woman who doesn't have particularly long hair, so she knows her chafifa takes shorter. Do it half an hour. Reshev the Levi says he thinks an hour is a shtikl lav dafka. Although the pashtus is, the minig of many women, is that they set an hour to do a chafifa. Now it doesn't mean an hour of combing your hair. It means an hour of the entire process, no? Between the bathing and the combing of the hair and the cutting of the nails, you set an hour. Or you set more time than it would usually take for you to do that. If you're a fast showerer, if there is such a word, and if you don't have long hair, and the whole process could take half an hour, so set 35 minutes. Set a little more time than it would ordinarily make. Than it would ordinarily take you, and in that situation we don't have the concern of Dilma Muhuma Labesa. That seems to be the psak of the Maharshal. That's followed Lamaisa. One issue that seems to be worthy of thought is what happens in the situation when a woman is going to the mikvah b'yayim. When do you do the chafifa in that situation? Should there be a concern of Dilma Mahuma Labesa in that case? I'm going to the mikveh b'yayim, so maybe I'll be so worried. I'm worried about Dilma Mahuma Labesa when I do the chaviv. Well, I do the chaviv the night before. It's just a little bit funny. So, Rabbi Cohen on page Sadi Tes quotes from the Ra'avon. The Ra'avon says he could do the chaviv b'yayim. Again, even without the Maharshal of being koveya azman, set amount of time for how long the chaviv takes. Reb Feivel thinks that you don't need it, because once we have the Ramah in Kuf Tzadi Zayin Se'if Vav, who says that even when you go to the mikvah b'yom ches, you should not have bia b'yom. Maybe I think you're allowed to have bia b'yom on some occasions. If you're a Talmud Chacham, afal b'taliso. Or if you live in a bayis ofel, you live in like some basement apartment somewhere, it's a bayis ofel, there's no light. So you're allowed to have bia b'yom ikradin, but the Ramah recommends at the end of Kuf Tzadi Zayin not to do that, no? Don't have bia b'yom when you went to the mikveh b'yom. So if that's the case, there's never a concern of mahuma labesa when I'm doing the chafifa b'yom, right? Because I'm not going to have bia b'yom. So therefore, right, the rush is not as intense, and therefore we don't have to be worried about this concern. So these are some of the haharos. Obviously, there's much more to say about the inyan of chafifa, but I think we really touched on the major points. The major points within the Zman of Chafifa were touched on. I know I'm keeping you overtime. I thank you for not walking out on me.